Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer recruiting experts. Now, here's your host, Chris Cousins.
Hi guys, Chris Cousins here, Sports Recruiting USA founder. It's another good episode today. We've got Aaron Malloy, who is a former college player with Kaiser University, Penn State, and then now he's at Portland Timbers in the MLS, got drafted in January. Top guy. He spent about an hour with us yesterday when we were recording this. On the podcast is me, James Dawes, my colleague, and Aaron. And he goes through and tells you about his life and how he's got to where he is. And he's such a positive person, and you can kind of see why he's got to where he is. So it's actually a privilege and an honor in like having him on the podcast to share his knowledge, really. It's the podcast was recorded from our homes, really. So if you're watching the video or listening to it, you might be able to tell it's a little bit crackly in places and stuff like that. It's just one of them things where we're having to use our home offices at the minute because we're all on lockdown. So I hope everyone is well. It's definitely weird times for us all at the minute, so hopefully it won't last forever, but hopefully everyone's safe and healthy and we'll all get through this. So yeah, that's enough from me. If everyone could who's been listening to these podcasts can subscribe or give us a 5-star rating or whatever you want. That always helps as well, get the name out. We're getting more and more people listening to it, and yeah, we're getting more and more people wanting to come on the podcast, and hopefully we can do it for a long, long time. So that's it. I'll quit talking. We can get straight into it. So this is Aaron Malloy of Portland Timbers, and this is the Inside College Soccer Podcast.
Right, Aaron, first of all, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Very privileged. So on the call is obviously myself, James Dawes, with the headphones and the hat on. And so sorry to kind of ask the same question you've probably been asked 3,000 million times this week, but just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you've come from, and just give us a bit of information, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, my name's Aaron Malloy. I'm from Dublin, Ireland, and came over to the States in 2016 to a really small school called Kaiser, and transferred after our freshman year. Spent 3 years at Penn State, which I was very lucky to do, and then got drafted in the first round, and now I'm with Portland Timbers right now, living in Portland, enjoying life.
That is a quick life story. So let's go back a step. Let's go back a step. So who were you playing for in Ireland? Was it Bohemians?
Yeah, so I grew up playing schoolboy for Crumlin and St. Kevin's. And at the time, they are the two of the best schoolboy teams. And I moved on then to U19s with Bowes. And I was up and down. I was training with the first team. Was on the bench a couple of times. And I wanted to play. I had another year at 19s. And I wanted to play pro, wanted to see what, like, challenge myself. Yeah. So I came knocking there in the second division. Was there for probably about 8 months, and I think I played every game bar one. But before I even signed for Drogheda, I already made my mind up about heading to the States. So I had an agreement with the coach. I said, hey, like, if things work out, I could be leaving in a few months. So it worked out pretty well for myself. So,
yeah, how did that happen then? So obviously, you thought about staying in Ireland. How did you hear about this, the American option? Because obviously we've all been there. Like, I'm a lot older than you guys, but like we've all been there at some point and found out about it. So how did you find out about that? And then so you went to Kaiser.
Yeah. So after secondary school, I didn't really pay that much attention. I didn't take it too seriously, education. And then after being out of education for a year, I realized how important it really is. So I tried and weighed up my options and, studied really hard for the SAT, and I wanted to be at like a high level school and a high level playing football, so it turned out to be the best of both worlds.
Was it unusual for you there, Aaron? Was other guys around you doing it? You know, did you know anybody that was out there in the States already, or was it kind of all
I knew a couple of lads, but they were in like NAIA schools in the middle of Texas. It wasn't like I honestly had no clue about NAIA, NCAA, Division 1, 2, 3. Like, I had no idea idea what I was getting myself in for.
Yes.
The reason I chose Florida was Alan McCann, who was the assistant coach at the time, the head coach of Reading right now. We're from the same area in Dublin, the same street. So he filled me in and he helped me out an awful lot. So I still chat to him almost every day. So if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have felt comfortable heading over to the States. And he actually is the one who kicked me out after freshman year to go to a bigger school. So
who was the head coach then? Sorry, was it Joe, the head coach?
Joe Zakowicz at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, then Gav Oldham took over, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you had Joe, and obviously Alan was the assistant, and then he basically said, "Get out of here, you're too good for it."
Basically, yeah, at the end of freshman year. So
how did that first season go, Aaron? Like obviously, like you said, you didn't really know what to expect. You've gone over there. At Kaiser, and did you sort of hit the ground running? Was it, you know, did you have to wait for it sort of thing, or
I went over, and before I even went to Kaiser, I'd done PDL and at Reading, probably the best PDL team every summer. So when I got there, I realized, Jesus, like these lads are top players. I had no idea what the level I was getting myself in for. So I went down to Florida. Alan had a chat with me and said, like, yeah, the level's probably not as high, but there's still some really good players. And it was true. Like, there's some amazing players there in NAIA that could definitely play D1, but it's just in Florida, there's a lot of distractions. And then, as you know, and then there was I done really well. I missed the first, I wanted to say, 5 games because I wasn't eligible. I didn't do the, I was never told to do the NAIA background checks and that. So I finally got through that, and I had a really good year. I got freshman of the year, and I captained the team as a freshman heading into nationals. So I was very mature. I was a very mature freshman heading in, and I wanted that. I wanted to challenge myself and be the best. Like, being freshman, sophomore, junior, that wasn't a thing to me. Like, I showed everyone respect. Everyone showed me respect. So I went in there with an open mind and wanting to win.
Did you win the PDL? Sorry, James. Did you win the PDL Young Player of the Year? Before college?
Yeah, the following year I won PDL Young Player of the Year, and the following year after that I was the number one prospect for PDL as well, and team of the year twice.
That's what I mean. I know about you because I used to run a team in Florida called Southwest Florida Adrenaline. They're not around anymore.
Yeah.
So I used to run them, and I the prospect list and all that stuff, I obviously used to keep an eye on it. So that's why I've always kind of known about you. Then I know Kaiser, and I knew Joe. Well, I know Joe. He's not dead. I know Joe. That's why I've kind of tracked you, kind of kept an eye on you and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. So obviously, what did you, just a quick question, if you remember, what SAT score did you get going into college? Because you said you revised for it pretty well. What do you remember? What you got?
Yeah, so I'm not the brightest lad when it comes to maths and that. So I end up getting some tutoring over in Ireland, but I don't remember my score. But I know I was like a point or two away of not passing.
Oh, really?
But I end up getting through it, because if I didn't study, there's no way I'd be over here. So I knew, like, I've just put in the work, and it'll come back to me. So I end up putting a lot of work into study.
And just on the back of that, we're going to have a lot of guys listening today that I've had a few message me today that are very interested to see what you've got to say. So what, you know, you played at a decent level over in Ireland. So what's the biggest shock, or what did you have to get used to the most, would you say, when you first got over there, whether it's, you know, footballing point of view or just a lifestyle?
Basically just growing up. I was I want to say I was a little mammy's boy probably when everything got done for me back at home. So being like basically trying in the deep end, really, like just heading over to the States, having to survive for myself, cook my own food, do my own laundry and all that. So I think that was a big culture shock basically for myself, but and it made me realize how lucky I am to have a family back at home that take care of me. So it was just kind of like maturing. I think I've said it a couple of times, but the big reason I came to the States was I don't think I was mentally or physically mature enough to go to the next level at 18, 19, maybe even 20 years old. So college gave me time to grow up. It gave me time to mature. It gave me time to be a better person, better player, and just to be more self-aware and be myself. So if I had a chance to go back to America and do a college all over again, I'd do it 10 times over.
What about the maths classes?
Trust me, I had to do tutoring over those too. I actually stayed over summer one time in Penn State last year just to pass.
Yeah.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I've been there, done that. I'm glad them times are gone. But so how did the Penn State thing happened just through word of mouth. Obviously, you got a few accolades for your conference with. Right, so people just knew about your stuff. Is that
yeah, so Alan was the assistant coach for Reading at the time, and wanted me to go back to back there. And I was more than willing to go. And as soon as we got there, he says, like, we can make a few phone calls, get a few teams there. So I think I was actually chatting to Villanova, Syracuse, Penn State. I want to say one or two more big schools, but I ended up just like narrowing it down to those three, and then Penn State were the team that seemed like most likely that they wanted to get me. So I came on an official visa, and going from Kaiser to Penn State is a whole different world. So the campus was amazing. It's a very family friendly campus. Everyone wearing all the gear and that. And then Penn State actually came out and watched me play. Never got a red card in my life. Never got sent off. 70th minute, red card, I got sent off. But after the game, the lads who don't play do some runs. And because I missed out on 20 minutes of the game, I went and done the run with the lads, and the Penn State coaches seen it. So I didn't even know what you were at the game. So they knew I was a good lad and a hard-working lad. So that kind of carried it over the line.
Do you know, for people listening to this that maybe – You know, targeting going to these top D1 schools. Do you want to just talk about the professionalism, the facilities, all that stuff? It kind of opens your eyes.
And how difficult it is to go to that level from straight off the bat, really, as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, the facilities are top notch. I would actually think it'd be better than a lot of Premier League teams, if I'm quite honest. We have everything you need, like a full-time trainer, full-time gym instructor, full-time nutritionist, and the coaches. Whenever you need them, that they're there. You've got a stadium that can pack up to 7,000 people at Penn State. You get chartered flights to away games, and the grass gets cut every day. Like it's unbelievable how much you get looked after, really. And there's absolutely no excuse not to get better, really, when you have all these facilities and you have all these people just wanting to help you. So just kind of taking full advantage of everything that each school has, whether it is a top-notch skill or not, just definitely people there willing to help. So just kind of take everything you can.
At what point did you think, like, I've got a chance here of making it? Because obviously, like you said before, 18, 19, 20, you're not physically ready for like a top league anywhere, really, professional league, like especially in Ireland or the UK or whatever. Yeah. But like, what made you think, like, because the college thing, it does give you that extra time, which is what is a good bonus part of it. But what made you think what was the switch that made you go, you know what, I've got a chance here? Was there anything in particular, or?
Yeah, I think it was like when I was at Florida, I realized no one from NAIA is going to get drafted. You know what I mean? It's usually D1. So I'm like, is it going to happen for me? Like, do I have a good lifestyle here in Florida? Should I stay? And luckily enough, Alan just kind of made me realize like how good of a player that I was. And he really believed in me, and so many other players and so many like my family members believed in me too. So he said, give it a bash. And then as soon as I went to D1, I played against all these players. I went to the draft, and I felt as though I was good enough to do it when the time's right. So, lucky enough that I kicked it, done really well in my senior year. I think I got 9 goals and 6 assists as a number 6 senior year. So that definitely
not bad,
helped.
Is it?
And, yeah, definitely helped. So.
So what's your attitude going into it? You know, Penn State. You get there and you meet up with your teammates, and there's guys you know at 4-year schools that have sometimes been with you. You know, there 3 years. You know, past where you've been. So what's your attitude going in? Is it just outwork the guys? Is it, you know, you've got something to prove? What's your sort of mindset going into that environment?
Yeah. I mean, like, as you guys know, you want to go in and you want to treat everyone with respect. You want everyone to like you, basically. But as soon as the whistle blows, as soon as training starts, you're fighting for your position, really. Like, you're fighting to play, you're fighting for your future, and that's what I believe. Like when I'm training, I feel like the person beside me wants exactly what I want. So you're gonna go and fight for it. So I all the lads at Penn State, they're all probably friends for life. I chat to them every single day, but it's very competitive. Like my best friend at Penn State, both was playing the same position, Nick Riepel. So it was healthy competition, I'd say. So it was definitely something that helped me get better. At the end of the day, I wanted to win things. I wanted to be one of the best players. I wanted to get to the draft, and I was lucky enough to be there.
What do you think the difference was? Like, so you play in NAIA, and then you obviously standing out, and then you go to Division 1. And obviously, there's good teams and bad teams every single division. Don't get me wrong, and good players and bad players. But what was the kind of, apart from the obvious facilities and stuff like that, what was the difference?
I think the biggest difference, even for Penn State, from the first year I went there, we had a losing record to the last year. I think the biggest difference was the culture, the team culture. I don't think we were as together as a team as we were in the last year. Like, we, it doesn't matter what we did, we always had each other's backs in the last year, and that kind of helped us out. Like, we probably weren't as good as other teams, but because we were willing to work for each other, we won a couple of games, like a couple of games that we probably shouldn't have won, basically, where we were the underdogs, and we went and did it, but then it kind of put us on the map then. I think we were, at the start of the year, we were ranked 130th, and at the end of the year, we finished 13th, so it goes to show you how much of a good year we had. Only losing two regular season games to Stanford and Indiana. So we ended up having a pretty good year. And we had six freshmen starting that season. So it goes to show you that just how important a team culture can be.
And, yeah. And at that level, Aaron, obviously there's no easy games, is there? So, you know, what is the competition like? I mean, I, being a former athlete, that you go into some games and you think, right, you know, maybe we don't have to be at our best to win today. But I imagine at that level, you know, every game, everybody's got to be at 100%. And you know, you're playing against other guys that are at international level, the youth level, you know, some quality oppositions. But what's that like?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, Big Ten is arguably, maybe ACC, Big Ten, arguably the two best conferences in college. So every single game you have, it's hard. It's hard to win in college. It really is. So playing against lads that are US men's national youth players, players from I played against a lad that played for UCF, that played for PSG his whole life, and he was a baller. So like, going up and against all these players, I mean, it only made the game even more intense, even more fun, for a chance to win, for a chance to compete against these players and show how good you are. And that's how it was. So like, people said you're up for bigger games, but like, the way I see it, you kind of have to be up for every single game. That's how it was in Big Ten. There was no really easy games.
So going into college, like, what's your kind of, I'll go back a step. So what was the kind of advice for players? Like James has mentioned, quite a lot of people who listen to this are players. Obviously, you've got a lot of coaches as well, but players are one of the main people. What would you recommend for people, especially like outside the US, where they're not really, like you said before, junior college, NAIA, D2, no one has a clue really about the difference for the most part. Yeah. So what sort of advice would you give for anyone going into it?
I think it would probably be very open-minded, the way the American system works. They have overtime in regular games and in league games and golden goal and stuff. So just be very open-minded. And I think for kids that are going into college, I think be very aware of like time management. I think that was something that I learned along the way with college, skill work. Chatting to family back at home, getting the right meals is time management is something that you gotta really, really consider to be like number one in your list of trying to get things done, basically, like with training, you're up early, you're staying up late to do homework. So yeah, time management was a big thing for myself.
You're not saying that you're bad at turning up late and stuff like that, handing work in late and stuff like that. You're not saying you didn't.
No, that wasn't me. I was very good at that.
Yeah, whatever. We've all been there.
Just to sort of go off that, I mean, I asked this everybody that sort of got to the level that you get to, because I think it's very important and everyone seems to have a different answer. But, you know, you mentioned before we started this podcast that your best mate, you know, went into the MLS, and obviously you've played with lads that have got drafted and so on. So the best players that you've played with, what do they all seem to have in common? What is it about them that makes them successful and, you know, reach that next level from college?
I think it's like work ethic, basically, just being able to outwork everyone, and at the end of the day, like it's you or just another person. So if you're slacking on one given day, it's a mindset really. So on the days you don't want to work out, are the best days to actually go and do it. And they believe in themselves too. Like if they have a bad game, you don't want to keep thinking about the bad game they have for a couple of days or even a week. They say, okay, get over it and go to the next game. But they definitely believe in themselves and they know they're good players and know they're worth it. They know are good enough to go to the next level. So I think, yeah, I think work ethic and knowing your worth out and being confident.
Go on, Chris.
No, I was saying, what's the level like? You, I've kind of got off tangent here. So What's the level like compared to, you're playing at a decent level in Ireland. What's the level like compared to there when you got to the States, maybe as a whole? Was it better or just as...
Yeah, college was?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, I was playing with a lad called Sean Thornton, who played in the Premier League with Sunderland. So I was playing midfield with him. So obviously learning from him a lot day in, day out for probably 6-7 months, 8 months. Yeah. Going to college was different. People are learning from me now in college. So it was something that I didn't think it would happen, really. So the level is higher in Ireland. It actually doesn't get enough credit of how many good players it is, if I'm quite honest. But it's competitive, it's high level and that type of stuff. So but then even again in Florida, like there's a couple of lads that played for Chelsea Academy, just different academies growing up that were very good players. That just, I don't know, maybe they just wanted a good lifestyle in Florida.
And you were captain at Penn State, right? For how many years?
I was captain junior and senior year for 2 years. Yeah.
So what changed? Obviously, you get awarded the captain's armband now. You know, I think guys, they struggle to comprehend, lads that have not gone down the college route, as to, like I mentioned earlier, professionalism and everything that sort of comes with that. You know, in England, if you're playing semi-professionally, you may be training twice a week, meeting up with the lads and playing a game on a Saturday. But so you as captain, what was involved in that role, if you like, and what, you know?
Yeah, it's just having everyone's respect and being a voice to the coach, basically. So if we didn't like a certain thing, and I wouldn't have a problem going up to the coach and saying, like, yeah, this is what we think, or this is what I think. So just having the respect of all the lads. And I was lucky enough to have a co-captain with me junior year. It was a fifth or sixth year player, Danny Marks, and he was absolutely amazing. Amazing captain. I learned so much from him. So being able to learn from him for a year before I went in and for my senior year without him, was very beneficial for myself. But yeah, like sometimes you'll have captain's practice, you'll get something, you'll play some five-a-side, you'll do some drills, you get the midfielders, you get the strikers, and kind of do your own thing sometimes when the coaches can't do anything with you. So yeah, just having that respect from the lads and building trust is very important. And I think relationships with the players is probably vital, is key. So that's what I got on that, yeah.
So what were the bad? We're talking about good times here, but what were the bad times of college? Obviously, you mentioned before, like, you got in trouble, but you, like, time management and stuff like that. But was there any negatives at all?
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're coming back from an away game, it could be 3-4 a.m. Still having to go to class is a bummer. Some classes will give you more work than others. So you're up all night doing homework, or you're stressed out, probably you don't know how to do it. So yeah, I think some classes you kind of pick your major, know what you really want to do, what kind of excites you. And they were kind of the tough times, the stressful times for myself. But even then, like if you're struggling, there's at Penn State, there were free tutors, there was mental health people there to help you. So there's no really excuse to fall behind, basically. So and the professors were awesome, like were great. They wanted to help out with athletes. So if you were away, they said, okay, like, here's an extra day to get the work in or whatever it may be.
And do you think, obviously, the negatives that you sort of mentioned there and stuff, and obviously being away from home, so far away from home, obviously comes into it and things like that, but do you think you're a better player in person for that now?
Yeah, absolutely. It made me grow up really, really fast. Made me realise how much you really love football, because you only have 3 months of the season for 4 years. So, and then spring ain't easy. So you're up at 5:30 a.m. You have your lift, you have your runs, your strength coach. You're going to see them every single day. So you're either going to love them or hate them. But yeah, I think it definitely helped me. Like I said before, college, if I had this opportunity with Portland Timbers, I don't think I would have taken it as good as I am right now. So I'm definitely grateful for having that opportunity to go to college and have the opportunity to be here right now at Portland Timbers.
Sorry, you got a degree, you graduated, right?
I'm actually 3 classes short.
Oh, so you still got to do that as well. You got plenty of time to do that now.
I'm three classes short, but Penn State helped me out. They have this thing where if you're at the school for more than 2 years and you leave to be a professional athlete, yeah, you get they'll pay for your your classes. So three classes short, it's not the worst. So I get to do them in my free time. So
hopefully when this corona thing
dies down, I'll get it all sorted.
Well, I thought you might do it now because you got plenty of spare time, but you're doing podcasts as a living, right?
Well, there you go. Yeah, hopefully I get credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. There must be a podcast class somewhere. That's cool. So when you're obviously playing and stuff like that, we've asked this question to a few people. What is the thing you change about college soccer? Like, obviously, the thing at the minute, try to change it to a full year season and stuff like that. It's kind of obvious. Would you do that? Because some people have actually said no, they keep it as it is right now because it gives you something to work for in the spring. What would you do?
I think it should be a couple of months longer, even if you're getting the lads in for the summer. Summer league, like starting maybe, I don't know, June, July, let the lads do a couple of summer classes to graduate early and just go from there. Like, I mean, I think I was injured I had cracked ribs or something sophomore year, and I missed like a week and a half, and that's 4 or 5 games you're missing, like 10-15% of the season.
Yeah.
So if you're missing one week and a half, it's a total bummer, like on your season. You're missing so many games, you're missing an opportunity to show people what you can do. So rather than having 2-3 games a week, if you have one a week, there I'm only missing one game then if I'm hurt. So that's something that I think I'd definitely change.
So when you're playing at Penn State, like when was the first time you realized, I've kind of said this before, but when was the first time you thought, I've got a chance in the draft here? There's been talk of me getting put in the draft. Like, you've got the agencies kind of floating around you and stuff like that. When was that moment?
I think it was junior year. I thought I had a good junior year. My stats weren't the best. I think I got 3 goals and 3 assists, but I thought I had a really good junior year, and going into senior year, I had a really good spring. I was the fittest I've been, the strongest I've felt, the most confident I've been. And we had 11, 12 freshmen coming in. So I stayed over the summer with them lads, worked out, got to know them. And then I realized how good players they were. I'm like, yeah, these guys are going to help the team get to the next level. So I was super excited about getting the season up and rolling, and I kind of knew then if the team does well, then I feel as though the accolades will come. So I mean, I think sophomore, junior year, I was kind of focused more on myself, and then senior year, I realized, I was chatting to the head coach, Coach Cook, who was absolutely a huge influence on me being where I am right now. So he had a word with me saying, like, if the team does well, you do well. So that's something that I was paying more attention to, was the team.
That's no pressure on him though, is there? Because he's got to get the right recruits in to make it good for you to get seen.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, not like that.
No. Go on, James, go on.
Yeah, off the back of that, obviously, you know, you get invited to the combine. What environment were you in when you found out about that? Was it a text message? Was it a conversation in person? You know, and do you want to just talk about a little bit of that on the day? Because I find that very interesting. Like, what's your mindset going into that as well?
Yeah, I think I was just finished training. I got a text off Coach Cook to say, come up to the office. And, you know, when you get a text off
the coach,
a million things run through your mind. Like, so you don't know, you think about all the bad things you've done. So I went up, and now I usually have great conversations with Coach Cook. So I went up, and he told me I was over the moon. So the season ended, and obviously, you know, when the season ended, a few of the lads want to go out and party and stuff. So I tried to stay sane. I kept working hard, and I was fit, and I was myself heading into the combine, and I had a really good combine. I think I met with 4 or 5 teams on the first day, and then on the last day after the game, I had a really good game. So I had another 4 or 5 meetings with teams after the game because I done so well. Which is funny enough, Portland wasn't one of them. So I had a interviews, meetings with teams, and Portland kept their cards close, I should say, and I'm glad the way it worked out, being the first round pick, and Portland not really saying much, so supposedly they've done that a couple of years.
So just looking into that, so what is the sort of, you arrive at a venue, obviously the guys that you played against in that, you know, ACC, the Big Ten, it's full of these very, very talented guys. So what is the setup? Do you all, you know, arrive at one venue, get a, you know, a talking to them, and then sort of get ready for the games? Or what's the sort of setup there?
It's been different from previous years. Previous years, I think it was a week long, but this was only a Friday to Sunday thing.
Yeah, it's a showcase, wasn't it? It was called a showcase this time.
A showcase, yeah. So it was the weekend of the Final Four. So the Final Four was in North Carolina, and we were the same, like in the same area. So the MLS coaches could watch us, and they could watch the Final Four. So it was the best of both worlds for them. But yeah, we came on a Friday. 40 of the best players that weren't in the Final Four showed up, and you know, a few egos were there. But as soon as everyone, as soon as everyone settled in and played football, we all realized everyone here are good players. So the respect was there as soon as possible. Once we started getting the ball out, so we got put in teams. It was the blue and the red team. So Saturday morning we had testing. We had like vertical jump, 30-yard dash, all that stuff, and then Saturday afternoon we had training session, and Sunday we had a game. So it wasn't too much, but it was just right just for the weekend. And I done well, and I met some great lads there who I still chat to today. So
it was a great experience.
I wasn't that nervous. I felt as though, like, no matter what team I'm gonna be on a team full of great players. So I wasn't really focused on, I was focused on myself. I focused on the team that I was with. I knew I was going to be with some good players, and I just got to go out and show them what I can do. And so it was good. My team was pretty good in the combine, and it helped me out a lot.
And you've ended up going to somewhere you wanted to go as well, didn't you? That's the number one place you wanted to go, right?
No, absolutely. No, I'm thrilled the way things work out. I mean, I had no idea that it was going to be Portland. And I'm lucky enough that it turned out to be working out right now.
Do you want to just talk about that a bit more? So then the draft comes along, and you know, are you in a hotel room at this point? You sat there just watching the draft live, or what is the build up to that like?
So I'm in my girlfriend Marissa's house in Jersey, and obviously it's different. There's no conference around the way it was previous years. So I'm sitting there, and I have a live and nervous. You know how it is. And then I had my laptop with me, and my mom's side of the family on my laptop on my left, and my girlfriend's laptop on my dad's side of the family, and that's like good. We're going through it. It's taking 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and Portland actually come up, and I was about to use the bathroom, and I got a text off my agent to say that could be Portland. And before I could really comprehend what he said, my dad's side with the laptop jumped up and started screaming, so they were 10 seconds ahead. So I had no idea what was going on. They just heard my name. So then I realized it was Portland, and they rang me straight away, and it was easy. It was sail bounce from there.
That's cool. I love it. I love it that your family are on as well. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I made sure that we could all experience at the same time, but my dad's side was 10 seconds ahead. So they ruined it.
I love that bit. I wish you had that filmed as well. Like just watching your dad's side just go mental.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what? What's going on? Yeah. I need the bathroom. So that's cool. But I mean, did you, just going back a step, sorry, James, because you're onto this quite a good little story. Beforehand, obviously, what's happening now is a lot of clubs are realizing there's a lot of good players in the college system. I mean, we get calls all the time and stuff like that, and have meetings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you get any sort of, I don't know, any sort of interest from back home or anywhere else before any of this? Because once you're in the draft, obviously, MLS have got you then.
Yeah. I had Dundalk from back at home, who's one of the best teams in Ireland, in the Champions League every year in the qualifiers. Yeah. They actually reached out, and the assistant coach at the time, John Gill, was the assistant coach when I played at Drogheda, and he loved me. So 4 years later, he gave me a text and asked if I'd be interested. And lucky enough, I think I have a better lifestyle over here in the States. I feel as though there's more opportunities. So I just really, really wanted to stay here, and I wanted to see what route it would bring me. So
Playing
in the States was something that I really wanted to do, but we'll I don't know what the future may hold now.
So what are you doing now? Sorry, James. Go on. We should have some sort of like system.
Yeah, I know. Some odd, I'm just interested because I know from personal experience, like, did you ever come home, Aaron, and play in the summers, train at home or anything like that?
Nah. I felt as though the more I went home, the more I wanted to stay at home. So I didn't even have, the last time I was home was 2018, honestly, for Christmas. No. So it's been a long time. I wanted to, just past Christmas, I wanted to stay in the States and train because I knew if I went home, like, it's not like here where you meet up with people and go for a cup of tea or coffee. It's 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. It's like, let's go for a pint. So I'm like, Do I really want to do that? So it's not something that I wanted to get myself in for as much as I wanted to be home. So I wanted to give myself the best opportunity possible by staying fit and being in the right frame of mind. So I ended up staying here.
The reason I asked that is because from my experience, when you go home, you can sort of, it allows you to sort of gauge how far you've come in since, you know, in terms of how much you've developed as a player. You know, you're training with the teams that you first with when, before you went out there as a freshman. So it can give you an idea as it comes. But obviously, just that concept in general, do you look back at a freshman Aaron Malloy now and think, how much you've changed? What do you think is different now to then? Obviously, you've improved physically and all that business. Yeah. But in terms of, you know, your mentality, anything from a footballing point of view, what do you think is the main difference?
Yeah, I honestly just think growing up, like, I think it's a huge factor. Just like being gone to college at 18, 19, I finished 22, 23, those stages of your life are very important and get to know who you are as a person, what values, what ethics you have. So being able to discover myself was I know it's cliche and stuff, but it was really important, and it made me a better player. Knowing that sometimes not just with the football, it's spring, it's the summer, it's the spring workouts, so all those things just kind of helped me be better. And like being from back at home, not many people actually, like I was the first person in my immediate family to actually graduate high school, never mind go to college. So it's a really big deal for my family and myself to look back and look how far I've come.
That's decent. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I mean, it's good, isn't it? And they're all proud of you. And obviously, do any of them come visit or anything like that? Or is it yet to come?
Yeah. My ma comes visit twice a year, and I try to go home for Christmas. So she was supposed to be here already and be home. So she's up the walls right now, not being able to see me. So last time I seen her was August. So it's the longest I haven't seen her and my family, and I'm the oldest of eight actually siblings. So not being able to see them I can be a bummer sometimes, but I just try to keep myself busy and not try to think about being homesick that much. So
yeah, you're on the big plan. You've got a big plan ahead, aren't you? You know what I mean? You're on this journey, so it's awesome what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'd rather me be out here than back home, so it's good.
Exactly, they'd be super proud of you. I mean, so like going back onto the journey, so to speak. When you've been drafted and you've been told where you're going, got to be here by this date and this date. Just tell us a little bit about that. So you've obviously arrived. Have you got a training camp with the first team and stuff like that? What's going on?
Yeah, so the draft was on a Thursday, and then at 10 p.m. on Thursday night, I got a phone call off some recruiter, I think from the MLS, and said, by the way, we need you in Florida first thing tomorrow morning for a rookie symposium. So I was like, well, I wasn't complaining, down in Florida for three days. So went down to the rookie symposium, learned an awful lot, like from social media to financial, met with Robles, met with a lot of like ex-MLS players, current MLS players, and what to do, what not to do, especially as a rookie. Then I had a week to work out. I went back to school with my girlfriend up at Penn State. And then a week later, I was in Portland, done 1 week of preseason, and I flew to Costa Rica with the first team. So 2 weeks in Costa Rica for preseason ain't bad, so enjoyed it.
That's cool. Obviously, you're playing with guys, I'm guessing you meet up with your Portland teammates and stuff, and you know, there'll be guys that are ex Premier League players, and that sort of thing. So, what's that like? Is it a bit surreal that you're now sharing a dressing room with them, or is it kind of right? This is what I've worked for, I'm kind of here now.
Kind of a bit of both. Like, I'm in the locker room, I'm looking at these lads, like Diego Valeri, more than 75 goals, more than 75 assists in the MLS, played for the Argentinian national team. Like, I'm looking around the locker room saying, where I am. And as soon as I'm out training, like, that, all that stuff goes over my head. Like, I'm just, it's the same thing as college. Like, I want to play. It's a battle. It's who wants more. I want to be able to impress. I want to be able to be myself. So, in the locker room, it's that type of feeling. It's that butterfly feeling where you're excited to go out and show these guys what you can do. So, that's what the feeling was like in the locker room, yeah.
So, what, right, so you've got to the first team. When you go out training, is the level, this is kind of an obvious, it's probably a rhetorical question, but like, what is there? Is there an obvious step up, or are you thinking, you know what, I can handle this, I'm pretty good, I'm good enough?
No, there's a huge step between like college and MLS. Like, you see only the best players from college actually go and make a career out of it. But like, if you're at an ACC school, Big Ten, and you're doing really well, you can fit in pretty well. Being able to stand out, I don't know that much. I mean, I feel as though everyone's different, but the level is definitely a lot higher than people think. And I feel as though every year the MLS is getting higher and higher of the quality of players.
So what sort of plan have they put you on then? Are you with Timbers 2 now?
I'm with Timbers 2 right now, but there's a plan to get me up to the first team. And I train with the first team every single day. And the plan is to play games for T2 and train with the first team. So the head coach really likes me and the having good conversations with the GM and stuff. So they definitely wanted to keep me around, and that's what kind of made me feel safe and being here and being able to work. And that's my goal, is being able to play in the MLS for Portland Timbers.
Is the similarities there, Aaron? Obviously, you know, you're captain of Penn State, you're sort of the top boy there, for want of a better word. And then you go into this environment where it's practically like being a freshman again. Is the similarities between, you know, being a freshman in college and being a rookie in, you know, the MLS?
Yeah, there's definitely some similarities. I mean, even being a rookie in the MLS, it's just small things like helping out the trainers with the water bottles or helping with the balls or the small things that you don't want them to ask you to do it, but you just do it anyway. So just to gain some respect and just to know your role and even for myself, being captain for 2 years, it was good to have some like less responsibility, if that makes sense. Because I feel as though at Penn State, if a passing drill wasn't going along, it was up to me and the seniors to get the boys up and running and ready to go. But at Portland Timbers, I mean, I still have that in me to try and get a help them and get it going. But it was a lot less responsibility for myself, and I'm enjoying it.
So what do you want to do in the future? Obviously, play for your country, and I'm guessing all that, but is there any like short-term, medium, long-term stuff?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with this coronavirus thing, it's hard to say when
we'll be back, you just want to play football.
Yeah, I just want to play football, but the goal was like if the coronavirus wasn't a thing, it was signing an MLS deal by in around the summer, and it's definitely something that I've chatted to with the staff at Portland Timbers. So but we don't know. Just get out and kick a ball is the short term goal right now. And long term goal, I mean, I think it's everyone's dream to represent that country and play at the highest level possible. So something that I'm definitely wanting to do.
Did you get anything any national team stuff when you were back in Ireland originally?
I never played for the proper team, but I went to a couple of camps. Okay. Like home based camps and that. So I'm lucky enough to go and do that.
Okay, that's cool. So you never played for the country, so that's kind of a good target. It's definitely achievable if you get yourself in the MLS. And anyway, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The level, the quality is getting better every single year. So,
James, sorry, what were you going to say there? I jumped in.
No, I just thought about, obviously, we talked about it massively from a football point of view, but, you know, personally now, I know you've got your podcast coming up that you're going to be starting and stuff like that. Is it, you know, off the field now, has anything changed? You know, do you want to talk a little bit about your podcast as well?
Yeah. So I decided to start a podcast. It's called Kicking and Streaming. And I just want to basically, I want to be able to motivate and inspire kids just to like never give up. And a lot of lads that make it, like they come from like harsh backgrounds basically and a lot of hardship. So basically what it's about is I want to have informal conversations with football players, past, present, professional, amateur. And I want to know like their hardship, their success and what got them to this point. And I want to have fun with it too. So if one kid or one person gains some inspiration and motivation from it, then I feel as though I won to success. So it's not something that I want. It's something that I want to have fun with for 6 months and see where it leaves me.
I've got a bunch of boys that are going to be watching this from over in Ireland because I've told them about it today and told them to watch it and sort of take inspiration for it, like you say. So do you want to just comment on sort of the talent level in Ireland and what you'd say to, you know, a young Aaron Malloy now that is back home waiting to go to college or deciding, you know, is this the right thing for me? You know, I'm in and around the first team, you know, semi-professional.
What can they do over there as well if they want to do this? Like, what is just everything really?
Yeah, just obviously just go for it. I mean, I feel as though if you don't go for it, you're going to be kicking yourself now for a couple of years because there's a window. You can't go when you're 20 years old and there's like a window to do it, and if you have the possibility to go over to the States, like I promise you won't regret it. I've met my girlfriend, I met friends for life, I've gotten so much better. Contacts, college, like education, it's something that you'll have for the rest of your life. So I think I would say to myself is don't worry about it too much. Don't overanalyze it. Just go and do it. Make sure you study for the SAT as well. it's important. But yeah, I feel as though like I would come over to the States if I was 18, 10 times over. I'd love to come over every single time. Yeah.
Cool. With that, does a part of you, and you've kind of just answered the question really, but and is there any regrets? Do you ever think about what if I'd have stayed in Ireland and tried to go down that route, or is it just solely just
My dad, he played pro for 18 years, and he played in League One in England. He played in the Scottish Premier League. He played, I don't know, 12 years in the League of Ireland. And I just sit down with him every now and then and just chat with him. And it's not something that I would have wanted to do. Bounce around clubs, sign one-year deals. There's no stability, I feel as though, unless you're with the top teams in Ireland. So and obviously they're amazing teams and they're full time. So it's not something that I wanted to get myself into. I wanted some stability. I wanted to be over in the States. I wanted to try something new. And that wasn't the norm. And even now, it's not the norm. Like you see kids now, they want to go to England. And like I didn't want to go to England. I didn't want to do anything like that. I wanted to have a fresh start. Move to the States, and now I definitely don't regret it.
Fantastic.
Love it. So probably, yeah, I think we can wrap up there really, but like where can people connect with you, like social media handles and stuff like that? I know you're on.
Yeah. So my name is Aaron Molloy 10 on Instagram. That's what I use the most. And then from there you'll see my podcast. It's in my bio. And yeah, if there's any lads that have any more questions, just reach out to me on Instagram. I text back, and I want kids to come over to the stage as much as possible, especially Irish lads. So I'm more than willing to help.
I love it. And also, your podcast is kicking and streaming, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is that up and running now, or is it?
So I got all the social media done. I have all the equipment sorted. I'm just waiting for my roommate. So I'm gonna be my roommate now.
He's definitely in the house somewhere in the flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Apartment.
No, he is. So the next day or two, I'll hopefully have a chat with him, and it'll be up now in the next week or so.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks a lot for coming on, mate. I think a lot of guys are going to be listening to this, and I found it extremely interesting. I know a lot of guys that are, you know, maybe considering, is this right for me? Is this not? We'll probably listen to this and think, you know what? I'm going to get myself on a plane and get over to America. So, just thank you so much for being on and sharing, you know, your time with us. Because I know you've had a million people trying.
Don't worry about it. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Aaron, well, thanks, mate. Appreciate that. So, yeah, right. Call that a wrap.
Thanks, fellas.